Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 22.
Andha Purai Vavadhiro,
Manda Prajnas
Jasam
Pratam,
Vishirnadanto Mandagni,
Saraga
Kafam Udvahan. Andha, blind, Pura, from the beginning. Eva, certainly. Vadira, hard of hearing. Manda Prajna, memory shortened. Cha, and Sampratam, recently. Vishirna, loose end. Danta, teeth. Manda Agni, liver action decreased. Saraga, with sound. Kapham, coughing much mucus. Udvahan, coming out. Translation. You have been blind from your very birth. You have been blind from your very birth. And recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened and your intelligence is disturbed. Your memory is shortened and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose. Your liver is defective. And you are coughing up mucus. Almost sounds like a medical report. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada ki. The symptoms of old age, which had already developed in Dhritarashtra, were all one after another pointed out to him as warning that death was nearing very quickly. And still, he was foolishly carefree about his future. The signs pointed out by Vidura in the body of Dhritarashtra were signs of apakshaya, or dwindling of the material body before the last stroke of death. The body is born, it develops, stays, creates other bodies, dwindles and then vanishes. But foolish men want to make a permanent settlement of the perishable body and think that their estate, children, society, country, etc. will give them protection. With such foolish ideas, they become overtaken by such temporary engagements and forget altogether that they must give up this temporary body and take a new one. Again, to arrange for another term of society, friendship and love, again to perish ultimately. They forget their permanent identity and become foolishly active for impermanent occupations, forgetting altogether their prime duty. This is the important part of the paragraph here. Saints and sages like Vidura approach such foolish men to awaken them to the real situation. But they take such sadhus and saints as parasites of society. And almost all of them refuse to hear the words of such sadhus and saints, although they welcome show bottle sadhus and so-called saints who can satisfy their senses. Vidura was not such a sadhu. Vidura was not a sadhu to satisfy the ill-gotten sentiment of Dhritarashtra. He was correctly pointing out the real situation of life and how one can save oneself from such catastrophes. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Advaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kansa Radha Kansa Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivatadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhavati Uttama Shloke Nir Bhavati Naishtiki Hare Krishna. You have been blind from your very birth. And recently, you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, and you are coughing up mucus. So, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is titled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, the situation is that Vidura has come back to the palace of Hastinapur to meet the Pandavas and especially to meet Dhritarashtra from the Kaurava side. Vidura was earlier asked to get out of the palace at the behest of Duryodhana, because Duryodhana was feeling that Vidura is trying to convince Dhritarashtra that Duryodhana is a sore eye and should be done away with, that he'll be responsible for the destruction of the entire Kaurava race. But Dhritarashtra, being spiritually blind as well as materially blind, did not heed to that advice. Therefore, the battle of Kurukshetra happened. All the Kauravas were killed. And Dhritarashtra lost all his sons. In the meantime, as Vidura went out of the palace of Hastinapur, he took that as an opportunity to detach himself from his family members, to detach himself from his position, wealth, family. He went on a Tirtha Yatra or a pilgrimage. He went to take darshan of all the holy places in the world and to associate with these sadhus. And thus, he increased his tejas. He increased his spiritual prowess. And also, along the way, he met Uddhava. Uddhava directed him to Maitreya Muni. And through Maitreya Muni, he heard the pastimes of the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty as well as the departure of Lord Krishna. And then, after hearing all this, armed with self-realization, he now comes back to the same Hastinapur palace, this time to come and give Krishna consciousness to Dhritarashtra. So this is the nature of a sadhu. Janma sartaka kari kara para upakar. Perfect oneself and then deliver the whole world. This is the mood of what Srila Prabhupada has laid for all of us. Vidura could have easily become a Bhajanandi saint. He was already self-realized. He could have not come back to the palace of Hastinapur after having been kicked out from that place. But still, out of compassion, he came back simply to deliver Dhritarashtra. Because Dhritarashtra was, because he was spiritually blind and materially blind, he was living in the house. At the mercy of those people who killed his children. It's very difficult to even imagine. Somebody kills our children and then we eat in his house. And we live at the mercy of such a person. So Dhritarashtra was exhibiting shamelessness in that sense, as told by Vidura. Vidura used very strong words against Dhritarashtra, saying that you are living like a household dog. And Vidura did not hesitate to speak these harsh words to Dhritarashtra. Vidura did not think that it is because of Dhritarashtra that I was maintained all these years. So he did not compromise on the philosophy, which we also saw in an earlier class on the qualities of Vidura. So Vidura is using very cutting words. He has no other business with Dhritarashtra except to deliver Dhritarashtra from the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. This is the nature of a sadhu. Sadhu is a person who cuts. The meaning of sadhu is who cuts. What does he cut? He cuts our attachment to this material world. Yes, attachment is a symptom of ignorance. Material attachment is a symptom of ignorance. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a famous verse from third canto, chapter 25, text 20. It says, Prasangam ajaram pasam atmana kavayo vidu sa eva sadhushukrito moksha dwaram apavratam. So, pasam means rope. In Tamil also the word pasam is used. Pasam means attachment, material attachment. So, a sadhu's job is to cut this rope of familial attachment. In normal life, we find that we are attached to something or the other. Either one is attached to one's son or daughter, one is attached too much to one's parents, one is attached too much to one's husband or wife. And if for some reason, if all these relationships don't work out in this world, then one buys a dog from the market and becomes attached to the dog. So, when I went to, yesterday I was picking up Aditya from this karate class of his Middle Park Primary School. So, one lady was there outside with a dog. She was saying, "Caesar, stop!
Siva, sit.
This was the instruction she was giving. Looks like it didn't work with the husband. That's what I could imagine. It was extremely arrogant, you know, the way she was dealing with the dog. So when we can't do it with our husbands, or when the husband can't do it with wife, dog will definitely listen. Because all the dog needs is a bone at the end of the day. So Vidura called Dhritarashtra such a dog. Though Bhima was day in and day out treating Dhritarashtra like this lady treated the dog with very harsh words, but still Dhritarashtra was going back for that bone, wagging its tail like that. This is the height of shamelessness. This is the height of attachment. At any cost, I must survive. I must survive at the cost of losing my dignity and my soul. So, because the problem was very severe, doctor also was very severe with the patient. So, cutting words, no compromise. Like that. So, what Vidura was trying to do essentially was to transfer the attachment of Dhritarashtra from his family members onto sadhus. So there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam again. This is from 5th canto, 5th chapter, 2nd verse. Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshitam sangis sangam mahantaste samachitta prashantah viman yava shuhrda sadhavoye. This verse means that our attachment has to be transferred from this material world onto the sadhus. We have to be attached to somebody in this world. It's not possible that one can live without any attachment. So, the attachment has to be dovetailed towards the saintly personalities. And in this verse, it is mentioned that these saintly personalities, though they don't have any other business, titikshava karunika suhrida sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadhava sadhu bhushanaha. These people are extremely tolerant. Titiksha. Under any circumstance, they don't care how people deal with them. Their only focus is to deliver this person. Karunika, full of compassion. Suhrada sarva dehina. Not only compassionate to human beings, but also compassionate to animals. Ajata shatrava shanta. They don't have any enemies at all. And they are very peaceful in their mind. Because they are free, completely free from envy. Nirmatsara. Devoid of any matsara. Therefore they have no enemies. We have enemies only because we have envy. Envy can be at the gross level or the subtle level. Right? Sometimes we don't get along with some devotees. Because we think that because we are not in alignment for Krishna's plan for them. So we think that they must act or behave the way we think they should. So this is a symptom of envy. But sadhus are not envious. They have only one business. To give compassion and to deliver the whole world. So if you see Dhritarashtra's consciousness right from the battle of Kurukshetra, Dhritarashtra's whole consciousness exhibited symptoms of anxiety, fear. He was very fearful about the outcome of the holy war. He was afraid that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is on the side of the Pandavas. So he knew in one sense that the Pandavas, there is no hope for him. But still, he was having hope against hope. He was so foolish in that sense. In the last class, which we had discussed here, I don't know whether it's Jay Prabhu or somebody asked a question. Dhritarashtra was also preached to by Sanjaya. In one sense, not preached exactly. Sanjaya was narrating what Lord Krishna told in the battle of, what happened in the battle of Kurukshetra. So Sanjaya was conveying the message of Lord Krishna as it is to Dhritarashtra. So the question, that was a very good question. The question was that why did Dhritarashtra's consciousness not change at that time, hearing Lord Krishna's words? And why was Vidura so confident that at this point in time, when he gives the same message, it will work out? So, Karunanidhi Prabhu gave me a very good answer to that actually. I don't know whether he's here, but he told me that. He's here? Okay. He told me the answer after the class, because I did not answer that question properly. So because of his mercy, he told me a very good answer. Karunanidhi Prabhu told me that sometimes a fool needs to be preached to at the right moment. At that point in time, Dhritarashtra still had hope. that the Kauravas, possibly the Pandavas will make some arrangement with the Kauravas. Arjuna anyway is lamenting, so he may go to the forest and the Pandavas will also, you know, follow with him and they'll renounce the kingdom and therefore Dhritarashtra can continue, you know, living like a the father of the king. So he had that hope. But now he knew that he had no hope. He had to continue living like a dog. And the words of Bhishma were very hard to bear for him. So this was the right time when there is no other hope, when there is no other ashraya except Lord Krishna, then a person takes to Krishna consciousness. So that is the reason that Vidura's instructions worked at this point in time for Dhritarashtra, when Dhritarashtra could not be delivered at that point in time, when Sanjaya was talking to him. So, and Vidura is also an expert preacher. He knew at what time to come and deliver Dhritarashtra. So we have been, you know, in our Srimad Bhagavatam Bhakti Vaibhav course, which ended last week. We had a final exams last week of the Bhakti Vaibhav course, and next year Kesha Prabhu will, by His mercy, you know, we will be entering the Bhakti Vedanta course. So towards the last section of the sixth canto, so that is what we have been studying in our course. We have been meditating on the pastimes of Chitraketu as well as Diti and Indra. Now there is a lot of similarity between that pastime and this pastime of Vidura. Now just to give a background to everyone, Chitraketu was a great king. The pastime of Chitraketu comes about from the pastime of Vritasura. Vritasura was a demon. He was a devotee in a demon's body. So Maharaj Parikshit is asking Sukadeva Goswami, how come in a demonic body this person is speaking devotional wisdom, devotional words? How is this possible? So in answer to that, Sukadeva Goswami is telling him, actually Vritasura is not a demon. He is none other than Maharaj Chitraketu, who is a pure devotee of the Lord. And that's how the pastime of Chitraketu begins. The pastime of Chitraketu begins when Angira Muni and Narada Muni, Angira Muni actually goes to him first. Angira Muni meets him and then asks Maharaj Chitraketu, who is the emperor. He's got everything at his disposal. Money, fame, prestige, women, everything. He's got a million wives, it is said. Of course, Keshav Prabhu clarified in the class that million is a metaphorical statement, not a literal statement. So he had a million wives. So everything going very well for him in life. But the only cause of his lamentation was that he did not have a son. And that's why he was always miserable, despite everything else in his life. So when Angira Muni goes to him, Angira Muni doesn't directly, you know, talk to him about spiritual life. He first asks him, how are you? How's your kingdom? How's your palace? How's your ministers? So he asks him about all the things that pertain to, that are very apt to be discussed with a king, a worldly king. What are his issues? So Angira Muni first dovetails himself into the frame of mind of Chitraketu. This is the quality of an expert preacher. First, like, you know, when we enter a freeway, we start aligning our speed with the speed of the cars on the freeway. So if we are driving at 60, first we come to 100 and then we start going along with the car, like that. So align ourselves initially with the mood of that particular individual and then give him the dose. So Angira Muni, he asked Chitraketu all these questions, and then Chitraketu is lamenting, I have everything in this world, but all I don't have is a son. So Angira Muni hears all this, and then what he does, he just blesses Maharaj Chitraketu, and by those blessings, then Maharaj Chitraketu gets a son. But Angira Muni warns him that this son who is born to you, who will be the cause of your joy, will also be the cause of your misery. But when he, even though Angira Muni tells him that, Maharaj Chitraketu does not understand it the way it should be understood. Maharaj Chitraketu thinks that, yeah, maybe he is meaning that I may have a son who may be a bit errant, you know, who may have bohemian ways, you know, he'll not be a conformist. No, that's okay. You know. So children are naughty anyway, isn't it? And sometimes, you know, children don't listen. So he says, okay, he must be telling something like that. Or maybe he'll be a little bit of sinful person. So we'll see it. In Hindi we say, dekha jayega, baad mein, you know, after that we'll see. You know. Let it happen. We'll see. So, but that's not what Maharaj Chitraketu, Angilamuni meant at that time. So, the next chapter, actually at the end of the same chapter, the child leaves the body. What happens is, Angiramuni has begotten that child from his senior-most queen, Kritadyuti. But, and then once he gets the child, he's pampering the child as well as that queen. And he's ignoring all the other wives, right? And because of envy, the other wives poison that child. And the child is dead. And at that point in time, the lamentation of Chitraketu and his wife Kritadyuti actually brings tears to one's eyes. When you see the way they are wailing, especially if one is a father or a mother, and if you read that section, then you will but shed some tears. Not out of spiritual lobha, but out of material attachment for our children. So, it's very profound, it's very intense, that moment. When Kritadyuti is lamenting and Chitraketu is lamenting, because there's only one son and he's gone after years of tapasya, like that. So, at that time, Narad Muni enters the scene. And then what does Narad Muni do? He believes that this is the right time now to give instructions to Chitraketu on detachment. So he enacts a wonderful pastime. He brings back the dead child to life. He says, okay, you talk to your son. You think this is your son? Okay. Come on, son, get up. And then son gets up. And then when Narad Muni asks, do you recognize your parents? So he looks up and says, parents of which lifetime? So, through the words of the son, the father gets detached from the son. Right. So, this is a very expert way of preaching, very innovative way of preaching to a person. Right timing and the right process of preaching. So, at that time, when Chitraketu is in such a position, when he has no hope, when he realizes that all material attachments at the end of the day will come to an end, and in this manner, he realizes that this is not going to give me eternal happiness. These relationships, material relationships, are one day going to end. They are not eternal. So rather than finding happiness here, let me get a higher taste and rise beyond the bodily conception of life. So the entire chapter around that section is very similar to the instructions of Lord Krishna to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In fact, the entire second chapter is spoken, if you like, where he tells, Narad Muni is telling Chitraketu that all this children, relationships, family, all this happened because of one's karma. Karmana deva netrena jantur deha upapattaye. Sriya pavishta udharam pumsareta kanashraya. So under daivi netra, under the divine jurisdiction, then, and based on one's karmic activities, then one gets relatives in this world. And because of one's own karma, one loses these relatives also in this world. And that moment is very difficult to bear. So by strong instructions, by expert preaching, Narad Muni gives him shiksha by which he gets detached. But Narad Muni doesn't stop at that. He doesn't stop at giving him shiksha. He also gives him mantra diksha. He gives him mantra diksha so that Chitraketu Maharaj will not only get detached from the material world, but also get attached to Lord Krishna, to Lord Vishnu, to Lord Sankarsana specifically. So he gives shiksha followed by diksha. And Maharaj Chitraketu, being the sincere student of Narad Muni, puts his complete faith in the instructions of Narad Muni and then begins his devotional service. And it is said that very soon after chanting that mantra which Narad Muni gave him, he has sakshat darshan of Lord Sankarsan face to face. This is the perfection of sadhana bhakti. Of course, the perfection of raganuga bhakti is not necessary to see the Lord face to face. But the perfection of sadhana bhakti is not when you say raganuga, not raganuga bhakti. The perfection of prema bhakti, bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, doesn't necessarily end at seeing the Lord face to face. Because that way even Duryodhana was seeing the Lord face to face. But the perfection of sadhana bhakti is to see the Lord face to face in a favorable mood. So very soon Chitraketu attained that perfection in his life. So this is the power of the instructions of a pure sadhu, an association of a sadhu at the right point in time in one's life. These sadhus, if you compare them to the modern day sadhus, modern day sadhus are mostly looking out for wealthy men. I'm not talking about the genuine sadhus, I'm talking about the bogus sadhus, the swindlers of society. They are always on the lookout for wealthy men. So if a wealthy man like Chitraketu, if they find, in Hindi it is called as Bakra Milgaya, found scapegoat, like that. So they'll go to him and they'll say, oh, very good. Oh, you're working, you're the CEO of this company. Okay, very good. Oh, you must do some yajna in your house. All auspicious. Shanti, shanti, shanti. No. So people will exploit this person. I remember that one of my colleagues, who works in Pune, in our office, he's a project manager with our company. So he had a problem. His fan fell down from his ceiling, right, when it was rotating. And then he and his family had a narrow escape. Can you imagine? Fan falling down and it was full swing. And it was about to slit his throat. Fortunately, it fell in some other corner. So he was complete, because I was talking to him about body and soul before also over the phone. But that day he called me up. He said, can you please tell me something more about that? Bahut achha laga, he says. I remembered your instruction, he said. Otherwise, I was telling him about the ephemeral nature of this world. But he was just brushing off. But when the fan fell down, then he called me. Instead of I calling him. So he told me, I said, what did you do after that? He said, actually, I called one Baba who lives nearby in Pune. I said, what did the Baba tell you? He said, he's a very famous Baba, not ordinary Baba, he told me. I said, yeah, he's a very famous Baba. Yeah, even Bollywood stars go to him. I said, oh, is it? Oh, okay. What did the Baba tell you? He came to my house. Actually, I'm miserable after the Baba came. I said, why? What did Baba tell you? He says, Baba told me, he looked at my house and said, there is inauspiciousness in this house. This house must be sold. And he said, Prabhu, I have just taken mortgage. 30 lakhs I have put in this house. 30 lakh Indian rupees. Right? And my wife is also doing a job. And this rascal came to my house. I invited all my society members also. Everyone in the colony I invited. Because Baba is coming to my house. So in front of everyone he said, this house is inauspicious. Now even if I want to sell this house, the neighbors will always tell, don't go there. Looks like ghost is there in that house. So there is no way I can sell this house. So neither can I get out of this house, nor neither can I live in this house. Now this is the problem if we approach bogus sadhus. So when we see a saint like Angira Muni or Narad Muni, they didn't go with an exploitative mentality. They went with a genuine desire to give him whatever is best for Maharaj Chitraketu. And that's why Maharaj Chitraketu was very happy after that. He completely overcame his lamentative mood after that. And he went back to the spiritual world. Immediately he saw Lord Shankarsana face to face. He narrated beautiful prayers. In his glory, act of glorifying, in his pastime of glorifying Lord Shankarsana, he tells a very profound prayer. He says that the only real dharma, my dear Lord Shankarsana, is Bhagavad Dharma. All other dharma, all other religions which are born around the concept of I and mine. My religion and your religion. So, it is only Bhagavad Dharma which is completely free from envy. Other so-called man-made religions are actually born out of envy. Because dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. Real religious principles can only be enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They cannot come from any mundane personality. So having enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are passed down to us through the Mahajanas. But otherwise nobody else, no ordinary person in this world can speak Bhagavad Dharma. Because Srimad Bhagavatam can be accessed only by the person who is completely free from envy. Nirmat Saranam Satam. If a person has a tinge of envy, then a dharma which that person enunciates has to be only Kaitava Dharma. Now in society we see that there are genuine Messiahs who come down, messengers of the Lord who come down. Lord Jesus Christ was once a genuine Messiah, a messenger of the Lord. So he came down. Actually, Lord Jesus Christ, Prabhupada says, he is a bona fide guru. Christianity is a bona fide religion. Lord Jesus Christ actually came down to give love of Godhead. Any religion which does not talk of love of Godhead is a bogus religion. Any religion which says you are God, I am God, everybody is God, is religion. Any religion which says that when Brahman comes in contact with the three modes of material nature, it assumes a form which you can call as Rama or Krishna or Kali, that is also a bogus religion. Real religion is that God is a person, we are also eternal spirit souls, and our eternal relationship is servant of servant. Vritya, vritya, vritya. Servant of Krishna. Now Lord Jesus Christ also came down to give this message of love of Godhead. But if you see, towards the end, he said that there are so many things that I want to tell you more, but you guys are not ready for it. Which means that Christianity, yes, the intentions of Lord Jesus Christ was bona fide, but he was not, by the pastime arrangement of the Lord at that point in time, he could not convey everything that he wanted to. So therefore, it stopped at a particular level. There are other religions which also believe in love of Godhead. Let's take, for example, Islam. Islam is also has a bona fide religion. Islam also talks about developing love for Allah. However, the focus of this religion is on the impersonal aspect of the Lord. That is because somewhere the understanding has slightly gone here and there, in the sense that anything which has a form is contaminated in its nature. Form is a manifestation of conditioning. That is the premise. And that's why no deity worship. God has no form. And Prabhupada cuts this in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He gives a long purport in the second chapter when the Lord says, never was a time that you were not there, I was not there, nor all these people who are assembled here were not there. If we read Srila Prabhupada's purport very scrutinizingly there, we will find that Prabhupada writes that, just look at how the Lord is explaining. Never was the time that all of us were not there. That means individuality is eternal. Individuality is eternal not only in the conditioned state, but also in the liberated state. That's a key point Prabhupada is driving there. So even when we are liberated, we'll still be individuals. Never was a time when you were not there, I was not there, nor anybody else was there. Now this is the point which some religions are missing. They think that when the Lord also comes down into this material world, he is also, that's a contaminated form. Therefore, whatever then he speaks about form and process is not bona fide. That's why Lord Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport as well in Bhagavad Gita. He says that if this were to be true, then the Bhagavad Gita has got no relevance, because it is spoken by Lord Krishna in his form. So obviously that is not true. And then why would people like Arjuna listen to such an instruction? So we are talking about Bhagavad Dharma. So Bhagavad Dharma is above all these things. It is the most sublime, the purest of religion. And only a person who is completely free from envy can preach that. Recently I was reading on the Scientology business, which somebody has started. Scientology. And you know, so many, you know, big film stars, are, you know, Hollywood stars are taking to Scientology. I was trying to find out what is this Scientology. So, what they have done is, they have very clearly taken the Vedic teachings. At the end of the day, wherever there is an imitation, there has to be an original. Right? Isn't it? Imitation is the glorification of the original, actually. Right? So they have taken something from the Vedic teachings. So therefore they say that, did you know, all you guys, you are eternal soul. You are eternal soul. I am eternal soul. And I was thinking, yeah, wow, this is sounds good on familiar grounds. But and then they say that you are a thetan. You know the theta in trigonometry we use. You are a thetan. So all of us, they call us thetans. And then they say, however, you are conditioned. Till here also it was okay. But the reason why they say the thetan is conditioned is, thetans created the world. Which means you and I created this world. But because we fell in love with our creation, we are conditioned. That is their philosophy. So therefore, emancipation or enlightenment simply means that you create but don't get too attached to that creation. But at the end of the day, you are the creator. All of us created the material world. This is the problem. Somewhere it's going very nicely and then suddenly there is a deviation. What was more interesting was the last line. Obviously, if you tell that to someone, he'll say, no, please tell me the path, how I can get purified. I am a Thetan. I created this world. I got attached. But please tell me how to get purified. For that, you have to pay dollars. The solution will be given if you pay and join the society. So therefore, this is a clear-cut example. Something is going wrong somewhere from here. Right? But Bhagavad Dharma is free of cost. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it free. Lord Nityananda was holding everyone's feet. Please chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So it's given absolutely free. So, saints like Vidura, saints like Narad Muni, they are genuine evangelists of Bhagavad Dharma. They don't have any other business. Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vipo. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Kadabrata. They carry Lord Krishna inside their heart wherever they go. And wherever they go, they have no business except to give that their own love for Krishna, invest that love in another person's heart. So that is the duty of a sage. So in this chapter, we see that Vidura has come back to Dhritarashtra to after he got self-realized, he wanted to take that love for Lord Krishna which he has developed inside his heart and invested inside the heart of Dhritarashtra. And that way, Dhritarashtra will come out of his ignorance. So this is the key learning. The other learning is that an expert preacher preaches based on time, place and circumstance. So Vidura was very heavy with Dhritarashtra. So in devotional service, in the role of a preacher, sometimes one can be heavy and sometimes one can take the other soft line as well. For example, if we look at Vasudeva Datta, his mood was very much like Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, he prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh Lord, let the sins of this whole world come upon me. So that there we see a mood which is completely opposite to the chastising mood. It is more of, let people, they are ignorant, they don't know what they are doing, but I am taking up their sins. Very similar to Lord Jesus Christ, this mood. So Vasudeva Datta showed that mood. On the other hand, we also see the chastisement mood. When Daksha committed an offense, Lord Shiva severed his head. So we see that kind of a chastisement also. At the same time, we see the same person acting in two different ways. On one hand, Lord Shiva was very heavy on Daksha, cut off his head. On the other hand, we see the Lord Shiva is also delivering the ghosts and goblins by traveling around in space. And wherever there is illicit sex, he takes that as an opportunity to release the ghosts and goblins into the womb of such a mother when untimely sex is happening. But at the end of the day, he has compassion for the ghosts and goblins. He wants them to get a material body so that they can do sadhana and then go back to Godhead. So there are various ways. And Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. He's a Vaishnava. He's the ultimate Vaishnava. So as a Vaishnava, he is also a preacher of Bhagavad Dharma. Lord Shiva has another way of preaching. He formed what is called as the Rudra Sampradaya, of which we see that Vishnu Swami is a saint. So there are different techniques. On one hand, he is cutting off someone's head. On the other hand, he is delivering the ghosts and goblins. On the other hand, for the more serious people, he is forming a sampradaya. And then, at the highest level, he comes along with Mahavishnu as Advaita Acharya. And to help bring Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into this world, so that the mood of Srimati Radharani, the Vipralamba Bhav, can be known to this entire world. So his Lord Shiva is preaching at all these levels. So this is the expert preacher, doing different things for different levels of devotees. So Vidura is coming back in this section and giving these heavy instructions to Dhritarashtra, by which Dhritarashtra's attachments are cut and Dhritarashtra then leaves his home along with Gandhari. Of course, Kunti Maharani also follows him, and then they all proceed north. So that is the result of the teachings of a pure evangelist of bhakti like Sage Vidura. So I'll stop here and ask if there are any questions or comments. Yes, book. Lord?
Narottam Das Thakur.
Rupa Raghunath Prabhu, you want to talk about Narottam Das Thakur? Okay, I'll because Nandamandir Prabhu has instructed me to end at 9 o'clock, so I'll probably speak for just 1 minute. Srila Narottam Das Thakur is one of the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What makes him extremely special is because he was not a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go with Lord Nityananda and all his associates, he used to sometimes just stand and then shout,
"Ha ha Narottama, ha ha Narottama."
He used to shout like that. He used to scream like that in ecstasy. So the birth, the appearance of Narottam Das Thakur was foreboded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu itself. Not only did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forebode his appearance, but also he took out all the Krishna prem that was inside his heart and put it in a receptacle. And which is the river?
Padma river.
Yeah. He released it in the Padma river. So that eventually Narottam Das Thakur can receive it back, all that Krishna prem. So that was the affection of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Srila Narottam Das Thakur's one pastime, which when I was reading Prema Bhakti Chandrika, you know, that really touched my heart many years back. You know, how to serve Guru has to be learned from Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Srila Narottam Das Thakur was wanting initiation from Srila Loknath Goswami. And Srila Narottam Das Thakur approached Loknath Goswami. But Loknath Goswami Maharaj, he was in a completely different mood. He felt that he was completely unqualified to be a spiritual master, although he was on the highest Ragatmika platform. So, but he was feeling himself so unqualified, and so therefore there was no way that he was going to give initiation to Narottam Das Thakur. So Narottam Das Thakur took up the seva of his spiritual master. Every day he observed, where does his spiritual master go to answer nature's call? And then he used to go every day there, and after his spiritual master has answered nature's call, he used to go to that place with a broom and sweep that entire place, clean up that entire place for him so that he can use that place again next day. And he used to take that broom and hug it and roll in the ground with ecstasy. Now this is far out. This is really far out. So that was the kind of disciple that Narottam Das Thakur was. His disappearance also is very special. He merged into, was it the same river again? Please correct me.
Padma.
He merged into the same Padma river, right? He melted into the Padma river. So that is how he left his body. And of course, more importantly than all these pastimes is, Narottam Das Thakur was the second line of preachers after Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, after the sixth Goswami was Vrindavan, along with Srinivas Acharya and Dukhi Krishna Das, Shamananda Prabhu. He was the one who actually spread Krishna Bhakti all over the northern part of India, especially the eastern states like that. So his contribution to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is just immeasurable.
One more thing, that he was the son of a king. In spite of being son of a king, such a rich man, never cared about the wealth or anything. He did the service for his guru.
Thank you. Sorry, what have I not told you?
This person, Bhagavatam, Tam Shan,
Mama Virya Samhita,
says, you know, saying, attachment to that material thing, which was caused bondage, and is wrong when applied to the self-realized, opens the door of liberation. So what about in, family setting, Krishna conscious family, and no, the family is quite Krishna conscious, and it says ultimately, if one wants to become totally detached from the family, then he has to, if he wants to take the order of something else, then he can't see his wife again, but he can still see the children. So what about So if the children are fully Christian conscious, then in that situation, which is taking the order of something else, is it favourable to still associate with them?
With who?
With the children.
With the children?
They're Christian conscious.
Okay. It's a very advanced question Prabhu you're asking. Prabhuji is asking that given the instruction that of the acharyas that one must develop detachment, and please correct me if I'm not articulating your question properly, Prabhu. But my understanding of your question was that if detachment is the way to go, then what about if one becomes a sannyasi, then and if the family is also a devotee, if before taking sannyas the wife also was a devotee, the son also was a devotee, and if the ashrama has been taken, then can we still go ahead and associate with the son at least? Is that correct? Something like that?
Sons or daughters?
Sons or daughters. So that is the question. So it is beyond my realization, this question. I'll just attempt to give my understanding of this, what I have heard from senior devotees, and I'll let other senior devotees here. You can yourself answer the question, Prabhu. But let you all add to whatever. My understanding is that there is nothing wrong in being attached to one's family if the family is comprising of devotees. Because it is not attachment which is the central issue, but it is the basis of attachment which is the central issue. It is the consciousness. It is the attachment based on Krishna consciousness. If the attachment is based on genuine Krishna consciousness, then such attachments can continue. However, if the attachment is based purely on the bodily platform, then one will obviously tend to be more favorable to one's son or wife or mother in one's preaching and not be Suhrida Sarva Devinam. One cannot then shower the mercy equally on others. So yes, that attachment has to be there, but there need not be any special attachment owing to that material component which is coming. For a sannyasi, my understanding is a sannyasi is an uttama adhikari. Of course, he comes down to the level of madhyama to preach, but at the end of the day, he is an uttama adhikari. So an uttama adhikari sees even a dog and his son as the same. So what to speak of another child and his child. So that is my limited understanding, Prabhu. So that attachment can be there, but that attachment should not lead to, eventually to another material attachment or a bias towards one's family in terms of dealings like that. So it should not be that a sannyasi has taken up the work of Loka Mangalam, but he is spending more time in the country where his son is there. No. So as long as it doesn't impede our service to our spiritual master, then there is nothing wrong in being attached. In fact, what I heard was that if we cannot be attached to our own son and kith and kin, how can we be attached to people outside our family? Because then there is no love inside the heart. So that love has to be there, but the basis of that love should not be material. That's my limited understanding. You can please add. Gopal Nishru. Mahatma Prabhu. Karunani Prabhu. Okay, please.
As for detachment from children, wife and home, it is not meant that one should not have no feeling for this. They are natural objects of affection. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attracted to them. The best process for making the home present is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Accept the remnants of stuff offered to Krishna, have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. One should train the members of the family in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. One must sacrifice everything to realize or serve Krishna, just as Arjuna did.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hari Bol. Okay. I'll stop here. Any questions we can take offline. Granthas Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah. Yeah.